Well, the Christmas season is certainly upon us, and if you're anything like me, gifts become so central in our focus. There's the frantic shopping, and now with the onset of online, which I guess has been around for a while, you've got to make sure you get it in time so it's shipped to you before Christmas. Anybody had something shipped too late and you weren't able to give it? Only us? Oh, okay. Right. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh boy. Yeah. But as we think about this idea of gifts, I was struck with that subject and why have gifts become such a part of our Christmas celebration? In fact, it's so natural for us. We think Christmas, we think gifts. You ask any child, I dare say any child, at least in America, and one of the first things that they're going to talk about when you talk about Christmas will be what? Gifts. What are they going to get, usually? But if they're really spiritual, what they're going to give. Right? Let's not just blame the kids, right? How easy it is for us to be so carried away with all the franticness of the gifts, and even what are we going to give, that it's so quickly forgotten why we're celebrating, who we're celebrating at all, right? As you go through the Christmas story, it certainly would begin with the gift of baby John, right? And I'm not going to delve into that story today, but the gift of baby John is he was given to Zechariah and Elizabeth. A gift. She was barren. And God gave her a baby boy in her old age. The giver was God. The receiver was Zechariah and Elizabeth. Of course, the greatest gift of all in that Christmas season was baby Jesus, the giver, was God. The receiver, well, most directly you could say Mary, Joseph, but really the Jewish people, the world. As we today celebrate the gift of baby Jesus. But there's another example of gifts that were given. And they were gifts perhaps more similar to the kind of gifts that we think about today. Gifts of gold, of frankincense, and myrrh. Tangible possessions, things that you could touch and feel. They didn't live, they weren't breathing, they weren't like the babies. Why does God, in His infinite wisdom, grant to us this wondrous story of wise men coming from the east? And they're following a star. Why? What's the significance? With the remaining time that we have, I'd like us to consider this gift, these gifts. The givers were wise men. The receiver was Jesus. Jesus was given gifts. And I do believe that we have a lot to learn from this. And I believe one of the reasons for us to be enlightened by this story, by this account of what took place, is to encourage us to be givers to Jesus. Well, the wise men came from the east. It is very likely that the wise men, they had resided in the east, perhaps for centuries. As we know, Daniel and his three friends, they were taken to the east in the captivity of Babylon when Babylon took over Jerusalem. We know that many returned back to Jerusalem, but we also know that there was a sizable population of Jews left in the east, and they would have grown, multiplied, but continued to carry with them the accounts of Judaism, the record of the prophets. These wise men would have understood from the prophets the profound significance of Jesus' birth. If you consider what they did, they traveled a great distance following a star. I mean, what was it that caused them to look up into the sky and see the star and to know it meant the King of the Jews had been born? If you have your Bibles, Matthew chapter 2 tells us this account. And I'd like us to just dive in a little bit and consider what we are told here. In Matthew chapter 2 and verse 1, it says, "Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying," notice what they say, verse 2, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews?" Stop there. Who told them? Somebody was born King of the Jews. Who told them that? Listen, they came with that question on their lips. Where is he that is born King of the Jews? They were well aware that a significant birth had taken place. How did they know? Well, we see here, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him." The wise men understood what the heavens declared and what the prophets had declared, that this significant event was taking place or had taken place. And as we consider this account and what we can learn from the wise men, we realize these were people showing their faith. They traveled a great distance following a star, showing their faith in God's plan, because the prophets had declared that God had a plan to deliver his people. And part of that plan was that the Messiah would come. And the prophets declared he would be born of a virgin. The wise men saw the star. They knew what it meant, that the King of the Jews is born. We don't have all of the significant details to fill us in exactly how the wise men came to this knowledge, but we know they had it. They saw his star, the text tells us. And we see that they came with this purpose, end of verse 2, are come to worship him. These men, how many? We know they were probably at least two. Many people say three. But it could have been many more. But they came with this purpose to worship. They were the givers. Jesus was the receiver. Well, we know that they came to the center of Judaism to find him. We realize, as we follow this account, that they didn't have all the details. or they didn't understand them. So they came to the center of Judaism, Jerusalem, to ask questions of the rulers in that place. And Herod was that one. And we know Herod, he's one of the bad guys in the Christmas story, right? And whenever we see it betrayed, he is always mean. And for good reason. Because we know what he did to the babies in Bethlehem. You see, God desired these men to interact with Herod, to show the veracity of the prophets. Because it is in this account with Herod that the story is told of the prophets. Because Herod, he says, "Hey, scribes, what does the Old Testament tell us? We have these three wise men that says there's a king of the Jews who's been born. I am the king of the Jews, but we've got to figure out what they're talking about." And so the scribes are called, the Old Testament is referenced, and we see back in Micah 5:2, the birthplace is Bethlehem. Other prophets declared other aspects of this story. Hosea spoke of his time in Egypt. Jeremiah spoke of the slaughter of the children in Bethlehem. But the prophets were right, and the Jews looked to the prophets. They trusted the prophets, and even King Herod trusted them. And so the scribes announced his birthplace as being that of Bethlehem. You see that there in verse 5. They said unto him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, and thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah. For out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel." So we know that Herod. He called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. In the back of his mind, he wants to know, how long has this little one been born, been alive? He's calculating, certainly. And don't miss the irony in the passage, because we see in verse 8 what he says to these wise men. He sends them to Bethlehem, and he says, "Go and search diligently for the young child." That's what they've been doing. And he tells them, "Look in Bethlehem, and when you have found him, bring me word again that I may come and what? Worship him also." Why did the wise men come? Where is he that is born king of the Jews, that we may worship him? That's what they wanted to do. Well, verse 9, "When they heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star, which they saw in the east, it went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was." God led the wise men from Jerusalem to Bethlehem with the star. You see, up to this point, they had seen the star in the heavens. They knew it spoke of a king being born, the king of the Jews. And those that have studied the stars, even today, have incredible theories as to what exactly happened in the stars. Very convincing. And certainly, God is in control of the heavens. From the very time that he created them and put them into existence, they have been ordered to speak the story of him. And over the years and years and years, things have happened in the heavens and will continue to happen that speak his glory and declare his plan. And the wise men witnessed this in the heavens. And now that they're in Jerusalem, this star is leading them to where the baby is. We see then, when they saw the star, verse 10, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. Why? It's because they have followed the star from the east. They have put great trust in what was taking place. For why else would they have traveled so far if they did not have a faith? And so to see the star confirm what the Old Testament has said caused them to rejoice. And dear ones, this is a great thing for us to keep in mind. God has given us the inspired Word of God, and that is to be the rock upon which we operate, upon which we stand. And if other things happen, confirm it with the Word. And you see this happening because the star led them to Bethlehem. That's exactly what the prophets had said. He's born in Bethlehem. In verse 11, when they were come unto the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother. Notice they're in a house. And they fell down and they worshipped him. And when they opened their treasures, they presented, notice what it says, they presented unto him. It does not say unto Mary. It does not say unto Joseph. It does not say unto them. It says unto him. They presented unto him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. We know that gold is one of the most precious elements that we have had for all of human existence. But very few of us have a significant amount of it. It is only those of great royalty and riches that can claim to have gold of any significance. But here was a gift of gold. They were bowing before royalty. One who is worthy of this gift. One who would be the King of Kings. Who is the King of Kings? Frankincense. Frankincense was given to the Jewish people in the sacrificial system to be a part of that incense that would be burning before the most holy place. And that incense that would be burned there in the worship in the temple would go forth unto God, and he would smell that aroma. And it would be that which would spare the priest as he would go in before God. This frankincense just was a profound reminder of this little boy's deity. He was Christ. He was Christ. And he would be one who would go before his people, before God, and they would be hidden by his precious blood. Myrrh. Myrrh is one of those spices that was commonly used in the burial process. You look at the Gospel of John, and when Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea came and took Jesus' body off of the cross, they wrapped him. He was dead. They wrapped him in cloths soaked with myrrh and aloes. And it is significant, isn't it, that at the beginning of Jesus' life, he's given a gift of myrrh. What would this little boy do with myrrh? At the end of his life, he's wrapped with myrrh. Perhaps pointing to the sacrificial death which he would die. This gift-giving exalted Jesus. It was presented to him. It showed mankind's realization of who he is. The wise men understood he's the king of the Jews and he is worthy of our gifts. He is God. And so we learn from this text that giving gifts to Jesus, it's worship. It's ascribing to the King of Kings his worth, what he is worthy of. How can we give to Jesus today? What does giving gifts to Jesus look like for us today? Three thoughts as we take into account what we have seen here in the text. First of all, striving to see Christ honored. The wise men traveled. The wise men picked up what all they had been doing, and they traveled a great distance. Why? To worship Jesus. What are you giving up? How are you striving to see Jesus honored with your life? The wise men traveled. I know when we hear that word striving, it makes us more exhausted. Because in our minds, that word striving speaks of just incredible effort and weariness in a time when we're already stretched thin. Because the American celebration of Christmas does not conduce restfulness, but rather stressfulness. And perhaps a perspective change is needed for us. Instead of striving to give the right gifts, strive to see that Jesus is honored. And what is that going to look like? It looks like a life that is full of works that are done for Him. It looks like a life that without a doubt is lived for Him. A godly life. Good works. And the Bible tells us He has them all laid out, prepared for us to do. For we are His workmanship, we're told. You see, Christmas is about Jesus and worshiping Him. So strive to see that He is honored. Secondly, share with Him of your possessions. You see, not only did the wise men travel, but the wise men gave gifts. Now, the wise men could have come and they could have bowed down before the Lord and worshiped Him and went away, and we still would have been amazed at what took place. But they gave gifts. They gave gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Gifts of significance. Gifts that would have required sacrifice for them, not only because it took away from what they had in their treasure houses, but they had to bring it all the way to Him. But they did. They shared with Him of their possessions. What does this look like for us? It's giving. The most obvious possession that we have here in America is our money. Are we giving to Jesus of our possessions? And you might ask, well, sure, what are there all kinds of things to give? Well, let me ask you this. Consider, if we are worshiping Jesus, if the wise men came and they were worshiping Jesus, their gifts were about Him and about furthering His name. And so as you seek to share with Christ from your possessions, make sure that your giving is furthering His name. So not only is there a striving to see him honored and a sharing with him of our possessions, but finally there is a submitting to his lordship. Because what we see in the text, in verse 11, we see that the wise men, they came and they fell down and worshiped him. I don't have to tell you the significance of this posture. Many count it odd that a pastor would get down on his knees from the pulpit. Why? It's a position of weakness. Easily I could be overtaken from this position. But from for this position of falling down, if you picture the wise men before this Jesus, this young child, they wouldn't have had to do this, but they did. They fell down and they worshiped him. And what is the significance of this? He's the baby, they're the men. He is poor, they are wealthy. This shows their proper understanding that he truly was the king. And what they had was the ability and opportunity and privilege to worship him. You know, this Christmas season, are you worshiping Jesus? That's why the wise men came. And they gave gifts. They traveled a long way. But they fell down, they worshiped him. And dear church, perhaps you've gotten away from that in your celebration of Christmas. Perhaps Christmas is no longer about Christ. Oh, you might think it to be so. You come to church and you worship him today. But dear ones, listen. You don't have to join the rat race of American celebration of Christmas. You don't have to do it that way. Do you have the courage to say we're doing it different? Oh, you might have some people upset with you. You might have some kids that say, Mom and Dad, what's going on? But I want us to realize the significance that Christmas is about Christ. It is about Jesus. And when I saw what I just shared with you from the wise men, it's exciting to me. It's significant that we take this time and we strive to see him honored. That we share with him and give to him from our possessions. And we submit to his lordship. Father, we thank you for the time that we've had to enjoy you today. I thank you for being a part of a church that can come together and worship you. Today, we ascribe praise and honor and glory to you, Jesus. And I pray, God, that we would have ears to hear and that we would have the courage to act. And that we would be a church, that we would be a people, that there would be no doubt who we're celebrating this year. In Jesus' name, amen.